Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Don't bother me. The door has already been locked and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And so I tell you, ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door is opened. For what father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a loaf of bread? Would hand his son a snake when he asked for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asked for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday in the Gospel, together with Jesus' first followers, we said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he taught us the essence of prayer, which is to know we're not praying to some cosmic life force. We're not praying to a slave master. We're praying to a Father who loves us. And knowing that we're praying to a Father who loves us, we seek what hallows him. We want his kingdom to come, his will to be done, because we know his kingdom is likewise our kingdom, that his will is ultimately our good, that we count on him every day to persevere in giving us what we really need materially and spiritually. We ask him to strengthen us when we're tempted and to save us from evil. Today, Jesus continues that lesson. And he wants to contrast the goodness of the Father with just ordinary human habits so that we can have confidence in praying to the Father. He also wants to strengthen us in our understanding of prayer so that our whole life can become a persevering petition to the Father. He tells a story that would have struck his listeners as very realistic. In the ancient Holy Land, there were no telephones, there was a primitive postal service, no text messages, no emails. When you would be visiting a friend, you would just show up totally unannounced. There was really no way to let them know that you were on your way. And sometimes not just alone, but sometimes with your whole family. Because of the terrible Middle Eastern heat, a lot of the times you'd travel when it was dusk, so people would arrive close to midnight. And many times, because bread was baked in the morning before it was too warm, you would have exhausted all your food. So it was a common occurrence that you would go to neighbors if something like that happened to you, and people showed up unannounced, and they would likewise come to you. Second thing to help us to understand this is the way a Middle Eastern house was structured. When the door was finally locked, everybody would be sleeping inside. You'd have the animals closest to the door, more or less because they were more vigilant. Then you'd have the children close to the animals because the animals would keep them warmer. Then you'd have the parents in the innermost region of the house. So when there was the knock on the door, it was like pulling a fire alarm. If the father, for example, would get up, he would have to walk over his children, walk over the animals in order to open up the door. So it was a big deal. And Jesus says, if that neighbor, that friend is knocking, if this man didn't get up because of the goodness of their friendship, he'd get on up because eventually the children and the animals are going to be awakened anyway. And he uses this as an example to contrast. If eventually this person in the inner part of the house would be broken down just by the perseverance of the other, how much will your Father, who loves you infinitely, not hear your prayers? He uses it as a means to teach us to persevere. Then he gives us the most unbelievable guarantee that has ever been given in human history. He tells us, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. He promises that our prayers will be answered. He promises. Doesn't say that we'll get exactly what we ask for. Doesn't say we'll find exactly what we're seeking when we want to seek it. He doesn't say that the precise door we're looking at will be open, but another door will be open. But nevertheless, he promises that our prayer will be heard. And a lot of the times we just don't take that seriously. The reason why we fail to persevere in prayer is because we actually think God's somewhat arbitrary, that he'll make a quick decision, yes or no, and that if we continue to persevere in prayer, if he hasn't answered it immediately, we're just wasting our time, because if he didn't respond like that, he mustn't want to hear it. Why does he ask us to persevere in prayer? Pope Francis, a couple years ago in a catechesis, described it very simply. He said, because we pray as we live and we live as we pray, according to the catechism. And if we're ever going to persevere in faith, in life, we have to be trained for it. And the way that we're trained for it is when we learn how to persevere in prayer. That persevering prayer helps to purify what we're asking. It also, in the perseverance, opens us up to receive far greater gifts than the little things that we might be asking for. Jesus talks about that greatest gift at the end. He says, what father among you would hand his son a snake if he asked for a fish or a scorpion when he asked for an egg? If you who are evil, he says, know how to give your kids good things, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That ultimately God's response to every prayer we ask is himself. God responds to our prayer by giving himself. But it's only through that practice of perseverance that we open ourselves up to recognize that the giver is the great gift in response to our prayers. The Church, over the course of centuries, has developed means by which we can grow in this personal and ecclesial perseverance that opens us up to receive in response to our prayer God. In this month of the Holy Rosary, we think, obviously, of this great Marian gift. It's a tremendous persevering prayer, which we're saying the same thing over and over again, meditating on the same mysteries over and over again. We learn how to persevere in prayer as Mary persevered in prayer her whole life, so that her life was a prayer, persevering all the way to and through Calvary, to her son's right side, where she perseveres in prayer for us. Second great persevering school of persevering prayer is the Liturgy of the Hours, where the Church, from dawn to dusk, lifts up this hymn of praise to the Father, entering into Christ's own prayer. What an extraordinary gift it is. It's not always pleasant, just like the Rosary isn't always present. In this culture formed by consumerism, we like things done fast, so that we can move on to something else. We want results yesterday. But the Liturgy of the Hours and the prayer of the Rosary help us each day to develop this virtue of perseverance. I'd like to mention one other form of prayer as we prepare tomorrow for the centenary of the last of the apparitions in Fatima. We're supposed to persevere in offering our bodily sufferings to the Lord in supplication, as we see in Saints Francisco, Jacinta, and Lucia. They persevered as soon as Our Lady started to ask, in offering their sufferings for the conversion of sinners. They just never stopped. They never said basta. The Lord permits that we have certain things to offer up corporally as well, certain mortifications. What a beautiful prayer that is. Some of the times the ones who are the greatest models of persevering prayer are those who suffer with chronic illnesses. I'm a spiritual director to many in Reunion Christi. And I think because they had a couple institutions in Rhode Island, I don't quite know why, probably half of my spiritual directees have terrible Lyme disease, which is a tough thing to have. Most people aren't going to be able to notice it from the outside. It drains you of energy. It gives you tremendous headaches. It leads to your vulnerability to all types of other infections. And most people who don't have it just don't understand that type of chronic problem. And yet, so many of them persevere in uniting this to the Lord on the cross. And it is a tremendous means of virtue. And as they offer it to the Lord responds by giving himself. Do we have the patience for persevering prayer? Are we really seeking in our prayer God? Or are we like those children in the marketplace, seeking our own preferences, seeking our own pleasures? And when we don't get them immediately, like children wander away. That was the complaint of the Lord through the prophet Malachi today. So many of his people were turning away from him because what were they saying? It's vain to serve God. What do we profit by keeping his command, going about in penitential dress in awe of the Lord of hosts? We must call the proud blessed, for the evildoers prosper and tempt God with impunity. So those who never pray seem to do well, and those of us who do pray suffer. So let's just stop praying. It doesn't work. Let's start to imitate those who are getting ahead in the world. In this passage from the book of the prophet Malachi, it's talking about the judgment, that Christ will come. And you will see what's written in both of those books. But it's through circumstances like this that the perseverance to which he calls us shines. The one who serves God, on that day, those who fear my name will have the Son of Justice arise for them with his healing rays. The ones who persevere in prayer are like the blessed man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night, perseveringly, we could say. He's like a tree planted near running water, yielding its fruit in due season, whose leaves never fade. So no matter the wind that blows, no matter the droughts that come, this person's rooted in the living water. So never loses the beauty of the leaves. And whatever he does prospers, the psalm says. Not prospers in worldly eyes according to vanities, but prospers ultimately with the Lord. These are those who hope in the Lord. And the only way we exercise that spiritual muscle of the theological virtue of hope is by not getting immediately what we're seeking, so that we continue to confide more and more in the Lord's promise. I left out one application of persevering prayer. And that's what we do here, from the rising of the sun to its setting. The Church continuously offers what Christ himself offered on Holy Thursday and Good Friday. Christ persevered throughout his entire life in offering himself in prayer to the Father for us. And he says to us, not just come follow me in this type of prayer for perseverance, but join me. Our persevering prayer is a share in his own. And right on time, God the Father gives us not a scorpion or a snake, not even a fish or an egg. But in response to this persevering prayer, he gives himself, his Son, and the Holy Spirit, whom he sends together with that Son. Let us thank the Lord for this summons to persevering prayer to a Father who perseveres always in loving and blessing us. Praise be Jesus Christ.